All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. We had the live stream on Tuesday, and I started off, it was Nightmare Fuel, with a jump injury, and I got probably half a dozen requests for me to do some more jump stories.
Chad Swagger is who Bad Pop would be if he hadn't joined the army. A typical American male who enjoys getting drunk on the weekends with ambitions to become a beer baron and a lousy lover to platinum blonde Icelandic bombshells. Half as charming as he thinks he is and twice as desperate, The Bro Next Door is free on Amazon Kindle, but it's an extra 10 if you want a kiss on the mouth. A link is in the description.
When I showed you that video, it was an absolute perfect day. Not real windy, hardly a cloud in the sky. He didn't have any mid-air collisions or any problems with his equipment. And everything seemed to be going hunky-dory until he landed and broke his leg. So, yeah. If you are a paratrooper, you already know this. The job is incredibly dangerous. If you want to be a paratrooper, you need to be informed up front exactly what can happen to you. Now, from basically 88 to 2007-ish, I was on jump status. Okay, either in the Ranger Special Forces or as a paratrooper. And I quit counting my drops at 100. Seemed kind of a waste to do it beyond that, because, you know, I got to experience an actual combat drop in December 20th, 1989, when I jumped into Rio Hato as a member of Bravo Company 275 Ranger Battalion. And let me tell you, once you get to see what's at the end of all that training, the motivation to be the jump master and all the other shit just goes by the wayside. Now, I am fortunate that I only had to do one combat drop in my career. I really was not looking forward to doing any more. Though I will say, if I was needed, I would still suit up and jump out of, or step out of the aircraft, on a hot drop zone. Don't want that to happen, but if it needs to happen, might as well be me doing it. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in the whole Panama invasion. I already talked about that in nauseam in a Lair video several years back. And I really don't want to revisit that stuff. You know, that was pretty much the last time I'm going to tell that story in all of its detail, because I just want to get that behind me. Because contrary to popular belief, and all the veterans out there who've seen combat know this, every single day, your mind goes back there. I catch myself thinking about the Panama invasion and all that crap probably two or three times a day. And I'm always back in Iraq in 2004. When I'm not thinking about Panama. It's weird. It's hard to explain. And a lot of the vets out there will realize that these words I'm going to speak here are true. It's a lot of guys, while they're over there in the box, all they want to do is come home. And then once you get home, all you want to do is go back to the box. You're like caught in a weird dynamic where you no longer feel at home stateside or in a war zone. I'm going to talk about a couple of jump stories that I have that I still think about them from time to time, and I probably always will until I get recycled into the hereafter. But one of the most crazy drops that I ever did was a mass tack. It was at Fort Lewis. I believe it was two battalions participating. I think it was 3rd and 2nd Bat. My memory serves me correct. I could be wrong. But when you're doing a mass tack like that, you know, when you look out, because we did the mass tack, we're doing a ramp jump on the back of the C-130. They just lower the ramp and you just hook up and just walk out the back of the aircraft. But there was probably a 18 to two dozen aircraft. And they all start dropping bodies. The green light went on and, you know, we vacate our aircraft and the sky was just ram-packed with parachutes. And fortunately, we're dropping the Crash 10, which is the T-10 parachute. It's not a high-performance parachute, but it's designed to get you from the aircraft to the ground as fast as possible without killing you. And the Crash 10 will take two fully equipped paratroopers to the ground safely. So on this particular drop, I step out, do my usual 4 seconds of screaming, there's really no counting. Main chute opens, boom. I'm twisted up pretty bad. So, you know, you got to pull apart on the risers and, you know, kick your feet, and it causes you to untwist. So while you're twisted, you really can't control the parachute. I mean, it's just not going to work out. It took me about 20 seconds to get out of the twists. So I finally come out of the twists, and as soon as I get done, you know, I snap forward, and I have a Ranger coming directly at my parachute and literally, like, does the spread eagle, slams into my my risers, and then turns and slips away. Well, that impact causes me to oscillate. So you're like, and it's getting worse. Literally, it was like being on a swing set when you're a kid, when you're going just too high, where you go up and you feel yourself fall back down just a little bit. That's what was happening. And I did everything in my power to try to stop the oscillating, and it just would not stop. And I was in fear for my life that I was going to come down and, like, you know, land sideways on the ground and royally fuck myself up. But fortunately for me, while I'm going through all that craziness, I descended, I don't know, another 600 to 800 feet. I was like maybe 300 or 400 feet off the ground, oscillating terribly. And I don't know who this guy was, but he literally, I don't know if he did it on purpose or mistake, but he I didn't see him coming. All I know is I look over to my left and there's a chute there, and I slam right into the side of the chute and it stops the oscillating. And I slip away and did a stunning and dynamic parachute landing fall, which is normally like a, you know, sack of bricks. Took a little bit of scuffing up, got up, went to my chute shakeout point and collection point. But oh my God. A couple of my buddies who watched my descent came, you know, after it was all over and I was back turning in my parachute. They're like, "Are you okay? I lost sight of you, bro, but you're oscillating so bad. I thought you were going to, like, break your neck." That was pretty crazy. I got over on that one because the second Ranger basically kept me from fucking myself up. Another one, I was towards the end of my active duty time. I was in the second Ranger Battalion. And the last pretty much 45 days, all you do is you get put on the short list to clear, and you go through all the steps to ETS out of the military. So you don't really do a lot of training anymore. But I got snapped up on a voluntold detail to go work a DZ for, I believe it was Alpha Company that was coming back from deployment, and they were jumping in. So I'm at towards the end of the drop zone. Like the chute shakeout point's on this side, way over here, the chute collection point, and I'm towards the end here. And there's a few sporadic trees towards the end of the drop zone. Now, this guy comes out of the bird. They're jumping maybe somewhere between 800 and 1,000 feet. And this ranger comes out and his feet get caught in the risers. So he's coming down head first. And I'm watching the guy, you know, start stressing out and kicking and screaming. And you can't hear him screaming at that high of an altitude. You really only start to hear him about 200 feet. So the guy gets around 200 feet. He's coming down head first. And what does he do? He lowers his rucksack. So I watch him pull a H-harness. Because they were, you know, we were switching over from H harness to single point releases back then. And the rucksack comes loose, hits him in the face on the way down, and now he's really stuck. He's upside down, feet over his head, and now he has 60 to 80 pounds of rucksack hanging from the lowering line. And if he had any hopes of getting his feet loose, that was pretty much done by that point. So I call it in on the radio, what I see, and nobody really, I mean, there's really nothing you can do. All right, the guy is in the air, and I'm 200 feet below him. I know if this guy lands the way he's, you know, landing, he's going to break his fucking neck. So I start yelling up at the guy, you know, jettison your rucksack. You just cut it away, let it burn in. And this particular individual listened to what I had to say, lowered his rucksack and his weapon with it. They burned in. And I think that the weapon was deadlined, and he had some other sensitive items in his rucksack, like a pair of nods or something. They were pretty much deadlined and destroyed. And I start running out after the guy because he's not getting his feet loose. All right, it's just not happening. And I remember I am sprinting for all I am worth to get to this ranger. And, you know, I literally got to him when he was like, his head was 4 to 5 feet off the ground. He was a half a second away from, you know, lawn darting in. You know, head first. And I remember I put my arms underneath his shoulders, and then I came down to one knee, and literally the force of his body weight coming down, I caught as much as I could with my arms. I'm not superhuman, but the thing that saved him is I was on a knee, and this elbow hit the other thigh, and it was just enough to keep his head from hitting the ground, and his body just, you know, came down sideways. And I believe he had some cracked ribs. But other than that, he was fine. I had to fill out a statement, a witness statement in regards to what happened with his equipment and weapon. And as far as I know, nothing happened to the guy because, you know, stepping out of an airplane with a bunch of equipment is, you know, not only is it dangerous for you, but for said equipment. So I believe they lost a set of nods, and the weapon they had was, I believe, bent into a bow and arrow. And I've seen that a few times. It happened to me once myself. So that's how hard you guys come down in those parachute rigs. Now, they have a new parachute, which is like a square one. I've not jumped that one. Probably never will. I heard that one has a much better landing, and it has less entanglements and, you know, chute failures. So let's hope that's all true. Now, the last story I'm going to talk about here, and for those of you that don't know what this is, all right, when you rig parachutes in the military, every parachute comes a little, you know, information booklet about the parachute, how when it was manufactured, and then you basically, as the rigger, you write and sign your name every time you pack the parachute. So if there's a problem, they look at the booklet, they find out who packed the chute, and then they come talk to you. Well, back in the day, on Fort Bragg, they had it's basically reprehensible, but they had a rigger who was purposely sabotaging the parachutes and signing the parachute booklet Mickey Mouse. And I believe over a 2 or 3 year period, like a half a dozen people got, you know, killed on Fort Bragg from parachutes that were signed Mickey Mouse. Now, it just so happens the tail end of that was happening while I was going through the Q course at Fort Benning, or at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So when we would do our drops, our jumps, which we did like 2 a month while I was in the Q course, they literally had everyone look at the booklet and see if it was signed like Mickey Mouse or Pluto or anything stupid like that. Because they were getting people killed. I remember we went out to the airfield and we were jumping. It was a CASA, I think a 210. It was a rickety aircraft. It only seated like, I think, 11 people with 2 jump masters. And it would basically let the ramp down and go up at an angle, and you just kind of slide your ass out and go off. Now, they actually found a parachute that was signed to Mickey Mouse on that particular day that we were doing the drops. Now, fortunately, it wasn't issued to anyone, but it wasn't found until after we did the drops. So they brought out a couple pallets of chutes. We went up there, they just handed them out, and it just turns out that good fortune, the Mickey Mouse rigged parachute was not issued that day. It was still in the pallet. And they found it after it was all completed. And our sergeant major was pissed. Oh, my God. Now, I don't know if they found the guy who did that or not. I would hope they did find that guy and nail his ass to a wall. But, yeah, that shit is absolutely reprehensible. You're going to start sabotaging shit to get people, like, maimed and killed. That's a special kind of stupid. And I have no sympathy for you whatsoever. So, I think about that all the time. That it just could have been just the guy issuing the parachutes went to the other, if he would have went to the other side of the pallet first and then worked his way down handing out the parachutes, he might have actually issued that one. And it was put out later on, like a week after the investigation was conducted, that parachute would have failed. It was basically tied shut with 550 cord. So there's absolutely no chance of that parachute deploying. You would be a toe jumper. And that is never a good thing. Because once you start towing behind the aircraft, they can get you back into the aircraft. It's difficult. But if they don't catch it right away, chances are you're going to tow, and they won't detect it for a few paratroopers after you, and you stand a good chance of having your neck broken from a guy behind you hitting you while you're being towed. Not pleasant. So, you know, we joked about it, but, you know, that shit was fucked up. That just absolutely fucked up. On top of that, I hated jumping anyway. So, you know, on top of hating jumping and then the terror of some shitbag coward in the rigger shed, you know, purposely sabotaging your equipment so you'll die. Yeah, that's not good at all. So, I don't know. Hopefully they caught that guy. You know, maybe you guys can Google it. It might be on the internet. That was before the internet was a thing. But, yeah, the Mickey Mouse rigger. That was not a good day. All right, well, that's a couple of jump stories that I thought I would go over while I'm reminiscing down memory lane. So, I'll tell you what. You guys send me some more ideas or whatever else you guys want me to talk about. And chances are I'll cover it in a lair. You guys take it easy.